Good morning, church. We are truly blessed to have you join us today. And we do hope that all of you are doing well. We are certainly very aware of the challenges that all of us are going through during these times. A lot of uncertainty and the news we are hearing about people and it does a lot of things in our hearts, and so I do want to encourage you to keep in touch with people and do keep in touch with the church. If I also want to encourage you that if you need any sort of prayer assistance, or if you want to talk with someone and you feel the need to for any conversations, please do feel free to call the pastoral team and the leadership team during these times. And let's stay in touch. And of course, we need to also keep staying tuned to God's voice and not allow this current situation to deter us in any way. And God is definitely doing a lot of things in our lives, and we have to keep our eyes and heart to that, and always be reminded that we are His people, and we are called by His name, and we are loved by Him, and just keep that in our hearts, and trust God with what He's doing in our lives, and take one day at a time. So let us pray before we go into the sharing of the word. So, Father, we come before you, Lord. We thank you. You have been good, Lord. You have seen us true. You are with us. And I just pray, Lord, that you fill every house, fill every heart with your presence, Lord. That we may hear you, Lord. That we may know you, Lord. That our hearts, Lord, will be aligned to your voice, Lord. So God, speak to us. Holy Spirit, come fill our hearts. Open our mind and hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So today's sharing is taken from the letter to the Hebrews. Hebrews 3, 7 to Hebrews 4, 1 to 13. And let me read it for you. If you have your Bibles, please. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me. Though for 40 years they saw what I did, that is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Be encouraged. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As just been said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Who were they? Not all those led out of Egypt? And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter His rest, if not those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. We who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in this word. On the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some of to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following the examples of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So just a small introduction to what we are speaking about in the book or the letter of to the Hebrews. So this letter to the Hebrews was written to a group of first century Christians who were in danger of giving up, and they were all exposed to some fierce persecution. And if you read, you will know that they physically assaulted, their homes had been plundered, some of them cast into prisons and on account of their faith, and others had been ridiculed in public because of their stand and trust in Jesus. So many of these Jewish Christians had accepted all these adversities joyfully, and some laid their lives down for Jesus. And but there's also a lot of them who shrunk back and from their faith in Christ and walked away from that faith, and some of them were in danger of compromise. And the letter here, if you read on, and which I encourage you to do, and the letter here appeals to all these severely tested believers to keep their faith firmly anchored to the truth, to maintain their steady confidence in Christ, and to press on to mature in stability. And what the author writes to the people of this early church, and what is he saying is encouraging them and asking them to stay on this path. But how does one encourage such people in such a critical and adverse time? And And the author uses, I mean, if you read on, you can see this very same words used here and there. And the words of holding fast to the faith and striving to enter. Or the word go on to maturity, seize the hope. And I think in our time today, as we sit down and we ponder upon our journey, and all of us come to a place where we are put in the same place. We are challenged in our faith. We can't see what is at the end, and there is a lot of distortion to that faith, and somewhere in our hearts, we let go of certain things and that God has been doing in our lives. And what happens is we go back to the places that we were from. And so, So let's just look at the text by a couple of portions and see what God is speaking to us about. And the first part, if you see in starting from verse 7, it's Psalms 95. And I think Pastor preached this one of the Wednesday prayer meetings. And it says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did in the rebellion, during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said their hearts were always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, and none of you has a sinful and believing heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So you see the story of Israel here, and you can understand. I've put a chart there to show point A and point B. And point A is the place of slavery where they were tormented for years, and point B is the promised land God was showing them, so you can understand the journey starts very energetically, right? This journey is full of joy, and there's so much the feeling of freedom is just amazing, and somewhere when they left that place, they were stacked up with so much of challenges. And I think you remember the story. The first challenge was the Jordan and Egypt, between Jordan and Egypt, and the people, the Egyptians were coming after them, and always in our journey of faith, you can see this, and it all starts great, and we see Jesus and we accept Him, and everything is amazing. And what happens is somewhere in the middle, the people become impatient, people get angry, people start unbelieving, people because of all the many challenges that starts to affect that initial joy, and things, you really can understand that things really get hard in the middle, and even in our lives. And people, what happens is people cannot see the end, and people cannot see that very promise that God has given them, and they get stuck in the middle, and what they want to do is they want to go back to Egypt. And so the first thing that starts to happen in the middle is when the challenges come, we forget the promise of God, or the promise of God gets a little bit blurry, and point B becomes distorted, and then we start to question God Himself, and I think if you keep reading, you will see the tone of the Israelites. They started accusing God of even trying to kill them in the desert, you know. And this God who saved them, and now he's trying to kill them in the desert. And all this is utterly a distortion of their faith in who God is to them and who God was to them. And so somewhere in our hearts, I mean, when we talk about point B, we must always keep this in mind, you know, what happens in the middle, and don't let, not allowing the pressures in the middle of the journey to distort us. And I think the scariest thing, if you read, you will see that the people of Israel came to a place where they suddenly thought that there was no such thing as point B, there was no promised land. All this is just aimless. They're all just spinning in the desert aimlessly, and God has done this to them. And we can understand, you know, then that when we come to faith, we have visions that everything God has called us for is going to simply be great, you know, and until we face a certain challenge, if that challenge simply lingers in our hearts and that distorts our vision of what God has for us or has promised us, and you look at the current situation, we've not gone to church for some time, and it's a lot of questions in our hearts, even in our jobs, in our securities, in everything, and we know what God has called us out of, but at the end of the day, being in this place, it kind of takes away, or it zaps away, or it distorts what is in God's heart for us at the end. Even though the people of Israel saw the hands of God deliver them from this superpower, right? This Egyptian army, the slavery, how God delivered them, how God brought the whole Egyptian nation down, and how God took the people of Israel out of this place, and how God did so many wonders, even in front of Jordan and in the desert. God stood with them in the night and stood with them in the day and led them through. And you can, the simplest details of your life, the clothes didn't wear out, the shoes didn't wear out. So you can see how important it is when we think about our journey. We forget the little details that God has stood with us in our journey. And thus, because we forget, we unbelieve, you know, we choose not to believe God with our hearts, and sin starts to creep in, and thus we murmur and grumble and make all kinds of accusation. And the author is describing the heart that has moved away from a faithful walk with the Lord, and the heart that has begun to live in the flesh, the heart that chooses to desire what was in Egypt, the even though it was slavery, and the heart that chooses to see the other nations that are beside them, then what God is doing for us. And it also kind of it allows sin to harden the heart, and we cannot hear the leading of the Holy Spirit within us, and therefore utter danger of experiencing a shipwreck in our faith. And thus the author in verse 13 says, you know, we need to stand with one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to be a part of somebody else's life. We need to seek that other person to allow them into our lives so that they can align or help us align our hearts to God. Right? And moving on, and we see in verse 14, the author is saying, we have come to share in Christ. We are partakers of Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. And I think this is astounding. I don't know if how many of y'all are interested in football. If you see football, right, I use the word, the word here is used goalpost, you know. So If you see football and somebody's playing, so let's say somebody is taking the ball towards the goalpost, and once it comes near the goalpost, and the goalpost moves, right? And every attempt to score a goal is gone, right? It's just wasted. And in our Christian walk, right, we need to learn to see the end. We need to hold on to what the end is. And here, the author says we need to envision the end, the finished work of Jesus in our lives. And church, this is a very important act, because for us to keep holding on and not letting that of what Christ has done for us, not letting go of our point B in our lives, and keeping focus is to keep going back and understanding what Jesus has done for us and what that means to us. And you must understand that the Bible is very clear on what is going to happen. And no matter what people say, how they say it, Jesus is going to come back. Right? Or we are going to go to him. So that end is certain. It's either I die and be in Christ, or when Jesus comes back, I am part of his kingdom. And so nobody can take that away from the gospel. The gospel, it is amazingly written. So no matter how we see this, we must keep holding on to that finished work of Jesus in our lives. We can't deter from that. And the next thing the author says is in 15, he says, as has just been said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the rebellion. And the word today, now, do not harden your hearts. And you can see the whole set of questions there. In 16, 17, 18, 19, and you can see what the author says, who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest? If not to those who disobeyed. So we see that we were not able to enter because of their unbeliefs. So the word unbelief here is something that we need to seriously keep our eyes on, because it has the ability to move us out of where God wants us to be. Somewhere in our hearts, we put God in this very bad place, and we think that like how the Israelites thought that God has done this to us, and why is God doing this to us, and not understanding that today our hearts needs to be aligned and seeing God for what is already done in the past, yesterday, and understanding that this God who has done it in the past will do it now. He will take us through to tomorrow. And if you keep reading, you see this in the verse that I just shared just now, we have come to share in Christ. We are partakers of Christ. And you must understand that Jesus in his life on earth, he did speak to his disciples about all this. He did say to them that if they did this to me, then they will do it to you. If they're going to persecute me, then they're going to persecute you. If they're going to do this to me, then they're going to do the very same things to you. And that's the journey. That's the faith. That's what in his life, he has taught us. And what he's telling us to think about is that we ought to be partakers of that. And why we have to be partakers of that is because of the promise that God has put in our lives, the promise of the gospel, the promise of salvation to the world, the promise of restoration and peace, the promise of God's goodness in the lives of the people, in our lives and in the lives of the people that we come to meet. And why, when we start to align and we start to understand that we are part of this that God is doing, then we come, we kind of understand there is rest. We kind of understand that we can be assured that this is going to be okay, that God is going to help us, that God is going to lead us, that God is going to see us through. And if we move on, the question of rest. And reading chapter 4, verse 1, 2, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. See, the good news, the promise of God of entering still stands today. It has never changed. It's going to come to an end soon, one day in the future. But today, it still is there. So, the author is encouraging us to keep our eyes on what that promise is. And when we look at what is happening in Malaysia today, the COVID situation, the government situation, the political situation, and even the economic situation, it kind of puts a lot of stress in our hearts, and because we are not certain of what is going to happen after this, and so we become anxious, we become worried, but what the author is saying is that we are going to go through turmoils, we are going to go through these challenges, we are going to go through some difficult consequences of things, and we are going to go through illnesses and all these things that is standing in front of us. But what we must take to heart is the very finished work of God. The very reason Jesus came is to put a stop to all this. We need to keep our eyes on the kingdom that is eternal. We need to keep our eyes and heart on what Jesus has already done for us on the cross. And the whole point of rest in verse 3 on, it says, now we who have believed entered that rest, just as God has said. So I declared an oath in my anger, and they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again sets a certain day, calling it today. This it did when a long time later he spoke through David as in the passage already quoted today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day that remains. Then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest already rests from their work, just as God did from his. And the reference here is Genesis 2 and Genesis 2, 2 and 3. And what it says is, by the seventh day, God had finished work and he had been doing so. On the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So, church, the rest that we're talking about is, we want it now. And I was reading the whole act of creation and just looking at, and you can see the very next thing, God made man, and God put man in what he has stalled over. And in God's rest, in God's very rest, there is a beautiful relationship. In that very rest, there's so much fullness of understanding that God is there with me and I am with him. And I think that is a beautiful place. And a lot of us, we toil with a lot of things around us. And what we need to understand is the act of God not necessarily sorts the things out that we go through today. The act of God sorts the things out that we are walking towards. And the very rest of God is when we learn to come today to him, and we learn to live in that relationship with him. We learn to understand that the journey right now is already been set for us, so that we can have that place with God. And you can understand that when you come into that place before God, and you are certain that God has finished it all, you start to understand that no matter what is going on around here, no matter what, God has finished his work. He is fulfilling what he has said. He is doing everything his word says. And we are part of that finished work. And we have to keep coming back to that place. And I mean, when we move on to the next verse, we see why that is important. And here the author says in verse 4, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following the examples of disobedience. And the references to the people of Israel. And here the word used, we should strive for the rest. I must say this with humility. You know, we all struggle with this, and this word is not merely a motivational word. It is a challenge to the heart, and the reason why we struggle to strive for that rest is because of how we have. How we perceive the things around us, and if you look at the heart, our hearts, and if you examine the hearts, you will understand the heart is not attuned to what B is. The destination is for us, so we have issues in keeping the goalpost steady, you know, and that is a problem, and that's why we need to keep turning to God's word, and we need to keep our eyes on focus in what God says this journey is about and how we're going to get there. Here the author, I think we all know these words, this passage, and it says in 12 and 13, he says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the two, dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thought and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." So the question comes back to us, and what is our point B? And the people of Israel thought about their point B. They thought point B is they will leave Egypt and go into a land flowing with milk and honey. That's what God's saying. And everything will be great, And since they were driven by slave drivers, and now they will do the same thing, They will have power and they will have all this that was in Egypt, And their definition of point B is so wrong, You will, when you read the journey, the Exodus, you will see that God directs them to Mount Sinai. And when God directs them to Mount Sinai, God says some very amazing things to them. And God calls them His people. And point B is not about getting everything up and working for us the way it's supposed to be. And point B is about we understanding that we are His people, that He has that we need to learn that this is our God, and how important that perspective is to us. And what happens here is we see the work of Jesus, and we must ask these questions. Why are we following Jesus? Is it simply because that He will give us everything we want? Is it simply because He will satisfy us? Or is it simply because we will, if we follow Jesus, we will get to heaven, no matter what we did here? And I think the whole point the message here is we need to be certain about what point B looks like in our own hearts, and so we can grab it with full passion. We can understand what we are getting to. And it has got nothing to do with what I want. And if you keep reading and understanding the Word of God, it dissects the motive of our hearts, and that's where we need to pay a lot of attention in. And so our own understanding of rest is challenged, and you can see it, like I said, with the people of Israel as they went to the Promised Land, the pursuit of knowing God, or is it simply the pursuit of finding our own comforts? And when we sit down and we work these things in our hearts, and it's humbling in a sense, and we can, when we look at the Word of God, we can see that our pursuit is always to our own comforts. We are always asking that God will solve something so that our lives will be okay, and we will have what it takes. And we ask God for certain things, and it's not wrong to ask, but it comes from a place where it is about what I want for myself. And the Word of God, the Gospel, it shows us what Jesus gave and what Jesus took. He gave His life. He took His Father's will. The cross reflected the power of that act. And what that did to Jesus, I mean, we all know it's tremendous. It's crazy. And if you read all the lives of the disciples and the apostles and all the people who followed that, went through this, they took the gospel and they gave their lives. And the word of God, it actually reveals the condition of our hearts. It shows us what we really want and why we are heading in a certain direction. And it's so so stressful when we cannot get there. We're always finding it difficult. It's because of our point B, and our point B kind of messes us up because we kind of aligned. We're always in the wrong side of the camp, and we're always just like the 12 spies who were sent in. You know, God has given a promise, and they go into this land and they see, and 10 people, 10 of them tells Moses, we can't do this. Though all the stories behind them told them what God is able to do, they missed it. Why? Because it is not seen like what they wanted it to be. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there, but they're not going to take on these giants. They're not going to take on this land. They're not going to do what God wants them to do. They're not going to strive in. They're not going to battle it out. They're not going to let God move their hearts towards it. Only two. And only these two people, these two went in to the promised land. And what the word of God does is it actually purifies our heart. It shows us what we are seeing now, and it helps us see what we should be seeing. And it puts a contrasting, a place where we need to struggle with, we need to wrestle with. And that's why it's so important to talk with the leadership, to talk with people and to understand what these are, and let the word of God challenge the heart and move us from that deception, that unbelief, that place where we have distorted our idea of where B is, point B is, and move it to what God is saying to us. And when we start to do that, the word of God allows us to have confidence in what God is doing. Thus we know where B is. Thus we know that God will take us there. Thus we know no matter what comes our way, He will see us through. He will definitely see us through. And as I read this, this is taken from Matthew 11:28, and just trying to wrap this up. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when we look at this journey from where we were, what God is doing in our life, has done in our lives, and we look at the promised land, the promises of God in front of us, we must always keep our hearts, in understanding that we are not doing this on our own. That it is the words of Jesus that takes us through this. It is the words of Jesus that clears what is distorted in our hearts. That we must learn to hold on to His words. So we know that no matter what is happening in front of us, we are able to walk towards that today. And that very words cleanses the wrong things or the unbelief within our hearts. It proves, the word proves itself to us when we hold on to it. And what the word also does, it heals our hearts. It heals us from our past. It heals us from the people we were, in the past and what it is that we will be in the future. It changes everything. And in this journey, God, He is working through His word, church. We cannot underestimate the word of God in our lives. And you must understand that those who reject the word of God, if you put it aside and you're trying to do this on your own, and you somewhere in the process of time, there will be a lot of, your hearts are distorted. You will be found out. You will find yourself heading the wrong way, and you will find yourself in the wrong camps. You will find yourself anxious and struggling and trying to get back. Your whole idea of faith will be blurred out. And thus, you need to come back to God's word. And the people who receives God's word and what it really does to them, it transforms them. And you know the story Jacqueline was sharing, the life of Moses and how God called him the stammerer, the guy who doesn't want to confront, the guy who's afraid. And at the end of his life, you see the man God has made him to be. You see the man who has led this whole bunch of people out. You see this man who took on the very things was in front of him. And what has changed is his heart towards God. And when he stood in front of God, all he wanted was to see his God. And that's what we need to do today. We must allow the word of God to shape us. And when the word of God is shaping us, then our desire is to stay with Him. Our desire is to be with Him. We must learn that. And what we need to do today, as the word says, that we need to come back. We need to stay with His word. We need to hold on to our faith in Him. If there is unbelief in our hearts, then we need to come back to God and ask Him to show us why. So I hope and I really do pray and challenge. I want to challenge you, church, that please go back to God's word and seek Him out. Let us be a church that will open His word and have healthy conversations among ourselves, discussing that word, speaking, challenging one another, and trying to learn and understand what God is saying to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord. We need Your rest, God, and that our pursuits, God, has failed us, Lord, and distorts us, God. It takes us away from You, Lord. And God, we see the Good Shepherd, Lord. We see Him, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And God, we want to hold on to Him, Lord. He is the Word that has become flesh, God. He is the Word that has shown life to us, Lord. And God, we ask of You that You lead us to Him, Lord. That we will open our Bibles, Lord, and we will spend time knowing You, seeing our hearts, changing what You want us to change, Lord.
So rest, God, is found in you, Lord. In you, God, are good. You are faithful. Lord, you, God. So we come to you, Lord, and we thank you that we can lean on you, Lord, that we can trust you, Lord. So we commit this day into your hands, and everyone who's seated here, Lord, with you, touch them in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord.